Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Barra Technical Desk. Alrighty. So, good evening, everyone. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association has an open net, open to all radio amateurs, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater in Alpine, New Jersey. As I said, this net is open to all radio amateurs who want to operate the 2-meter band, and it's a discussion. You know, we call it the technical net, but reality, it's a round robin where something that you find cool about amateur radio, something you find interesting about amateur radio, something you find interesting or cool about electronics, telecommunications, computers, emergency management, you know, helping people, any aspect of communication or electronics, electricity, is fair game. Any of those things that influence those things is fair game. So we hope you'll take the opportunity to participate, because again, it's a conversation. And so what I'd recommend you do is get yourself a cold drink, make yourself comfortable, and plan to check in even if you are not thinking yourself to have a question or specifically plan to offer a comment, because your mere presence will help us guide the conversation. And that's really what we need you to help us do, is be part of that dialogue, even by your presence. So, we check into this net a little differently than we do other nets. We check in with our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. One other thing is that my call is Whiskey 2 Tango Tango Tango, but we're going to use the Bergen Amateur Radio Association call of K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo for Bergen Amateur Radio. So keep that in mind as well. So, all right, let us begin, as they say. Let the games begin. Let's start with tonight, November stations. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter N, or November, if you will, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Over.
This is NS2K. No question at this point. Jim.
Good evening, James. Alrighty. Very good. Any other Novembers? All right, let's try the whiskey stations.
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Good evening, Don with a comment. Welcome aboard. Alrighty, we'll get you squared away in a little bit. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie. I didn't come up with a question.
That would be excellent, Charlie. Good evening to you as well. Any other stations with a whiskey call? Okay, any Novembers?
Is that all right?
I know, I'm trying a new technique. All right, any Alpha stations? Stations whose call sign begin with Kilo and Oscar.
KO2OK, Mobile. Evening, Gordon. My name is Bennett, and I have neither a question or a comment.
Yeah, but I figured out who you were. All right, any other Kilo 2s?
K2BAR, this is K2ZO. No questions or comments at this time. Do I have enough audio? Huh?
You have plenty of audio, Jim, but there is some egg fry in your signal. You have an abundance of audio. Great sounding audio, actually. Alrighty. And I have a question tonight, so just be aware. Any other Kilo 2s? Okay, any other Kilos?
KC2SQV, James, good evening. No questions or comments other than wondering where all this curiosity was last week.
Yeah, I spoke with several people actually after last week's net, which I'll get into in a moment as far as apologizing for my precipitous absence. But for whatever reason, several people had different things that came up and they just forgot the net. It happens like that. We only have seven of us here now, which is not exactly overwhelming. But all right, very good. Any other Kilos?
KF2ID, Ben, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Ben. Any others?
Marco, no questions or comments.
I'm sorry, Marco, I doubled. Say again your call.
KC2ZMA, Marco, no questions, no comments.
Thank you, Marco. Good evening as well to you. And I heard you on the air the other day. Or was it this morning? I think I might have heard you this morning. I'm trying to remember. Anyway, good hearing you nonetheless. All right, any other stations, any call signs? All righty. So, my question of the evening, if I may, so bold, is to inquire as to what people have used for remote PC access and also remote audio from the PC access. My interest is to control a PC and to bring its audio back to another machine. I've heard people use Skype for the audio, but I'm kind of curious what they use for remote control. TeamView seems to be a good one. I'm using that, but a friend of mine set that up for me on another machine, our D-Star hotspot here. So I'm just kind of curious what people did with that. And also, does anybody have any good scripting language for Windows where you can write scripts that will do things like send commands out ports and display things and things like that? Just kind of wondering what people might have used in the way of scripting language as well. So that's my question for the moment. Anybody?
KC2ZMA.
Marco, go ahead.
As far as remote access and computer, I hear a lot about GoToMyPC. I never used it, but I hear a lot of advertisements about it. I've heard a lot of people say it's extremely good to use, but I haven't used it myself, actually. It's really the only one I know to remotely control either a Mac to a PC or vice versa or both. As far as scripting language, programming languages, what's good is if you're doing Windows batch programming, it's good to use. If you look it up, batch, you just Google it, give you a lot of stuff about that. That's in Windows itself. If you want to use, let me drop it 1 second. If you want to use programming languages, you could Google like Blitz Basic or Just Basic. Any kind of basic languages is very it's very good to use. But like what kind of programs you want to do, it depends. But those are the basics of it. They basically the basic of programming languages. If you want anything like C++ is more advanced. But Blitz Basic you use, Just Basic, I think they call it. If you even Google it, you have a whole bunch of things coming up basic programming languages. But it depends what, if you want to go to advanced or depending what you want to do. Back to Matt.
Okay, so Blitz Basic is another one. That's good. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, go to my PC. I think the big deal with that is that you have to keep paying for it. Whereas TeamView has a freeware version that is adequate, pretty secure, etc. All right, very good. Anybody else have any follow-on comments? Okay, thank you, Marco. I'll take some more check-ins, and then we'll get to Charlie's question. Actually, we'll go to Don's announcement after that, and then Charlie's question. Any more check-ins, please call K2BAR. Okie doke. Don, announcements.
Okay, this is W2JEK, good evening, everybody. Just announcing that we're having a next test session on April 15th, that's a Friday evening at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. And it's about all that's new in the VE world. I did come out with a question that was deleted from the extra class question pool. However, I got an email today about that it is not a question that's on any of our test booklets, so I don't have to go worrying about what I'm going to delete or anything. So they lucked out on that one. They didn't have to send out little stickers to replace a question on the answers of the question books. So that's about it here. Back to that, W2JEK.
Okay, very good. So Westwood High School, Washington Township, 7 p.m. on the 15th of April.
Yes, Roger. You were having a class sometime after Easter. Maybe you could enlighten us about that.
Yes, the class is technician only. We can test anything you want, but it's the 15th of, it's the 29th of April, which, for those who might be tracking these things, it's the Friday after Easter. It's not Good Friday, it's a week hence. So, we hope you can join us. If you're interested in the course, email me at w2ttt@att.net. And I will send out the study materials. There's lots of electronic resources available for studying in advance and practice tests and all sorts of other good things. So there's no charge for the materials. There is a registration fee for the course. It frankly helps subsidize some of the scouts who will be also taking the class and helping them with their exam. So anyway, that's what we do there. Anyway, that's about it. Any questions about either test session? Alrighty, let me make a PSA here. Tomorrow night, at the Fairlawn Radio Club, they're going to honor Zach, KC2RSS, for arranging for and coordinating a space station contact that happened 2 weeks ago on Monday at Fairlawn High School. It was contact number 599. One more pass, they would have had they would have been on QSO 600. AMSAT made a big deal of the 600th QSO. Fortunately, they were 599 high. But it was great. They spoke with the Italian astronaut who's on the space station, and he was very, very engaging. It was a lot of fun. So if you want to see some of that program and congratulate Zach, be at the Fairlawn Radio Club around 7 tomorrow night, 7:30, somewhere around there. If you can't make it, or you'd like to see the long-form video, there's some video, I think, on YouTube for Fairlawn High School Space Station Contact. And also, Barrow's going to have a presentation at their meeting on Sunday, which will be held at the Westwood Municipal Building at 7:30. People gather at 7 in the big community room in the Borough Hall there, or Township Hall, I should say. any questions about those things, please call K2BAR.
KC2SQV.
Sir, yes, sir.
I believe it's the Washington Township Hall, not Westwood Hall, and I was easily confused, not Westwood.
Oh, you know what? I did misspeak. Thank you very much, James. Yep. Yes, it's Washington Township Hall. And the way you get to it, by the way, is the traffic light opposite the supermarket strip mall on Pascack Road. You make a left at that traffic light, go up the hill, make the first right. If you're going northbound on Pascack, you're going southbound, make a right and a right at the traffic light opposite the strip mall. And you're good to go. And we're right inside. So thank you, James. Anybody else? All right, just a further reminder, tomorrow morning is coffee at the mall. I guess that's about 8:30. And so if you're interested in that, Barra Coffee is Friday and Tuesday. And if it doesn't frighten anybody away, I might actually show up. So we'll see. So, any other comments, questions? Okay, Don, did you want to put any ribbons on it?
No, I think one other thought I would mention is that people who are studying for the general should be aware that the question pool will change as of July 1st. So if they're studying the current material, I'll have to get the testing done before the end of June. Otherwise, they're going to have problems. You can't study the old material and take the new test, or vice versa. Back to that, W2JK.
Well, you can, but you better understand what you studied at a whole other level, not just memorize the questions. That's good. Any questions for Don? All right, so we'll see what either Fairlawn tomorrow night or Washington Township Borough Hall on Sunday. Both, I think, people are gathering around 7. The meeting's at 7:30. Unfortunately, I will miss Fairlawn tomorrow, and Jeremy has a mini hockey tournament in Downingtown, Pennsylvania, so KC2VBS will be mobile tomorrow with Dad after we get him home from school and changed. Alrighty, so with that, let's go to Charlie, WE2R. Your question, sir, K2BAR.
Okay, Gord, thank you. It's WE2R. Just wonder if anybody can tell me, this is a cell phone question, how far off the Jersey coast into the ocean does cell phone coverage extend? Does anybody have a guideline on that? Back to net. This is WE2R.
Oh, Charlie, that varies widely according to the traffic level that's expected and how the each carrier has decided to address it for that locality. You can get maritime or coastal maritime coverage maps or maps that include coastal maritime areas from your carrier. Which carrier do you have?
I have Verizon, but I'd like to get a sampling of, a number of them. So that's what I'll do. That's interesting.
Yeah, I would start with each of the carriers' websites because they all pretty much have coverage maps. As Verizon likes to point out, there's a map for that. There's also a moron for the way they read their maps, but that's another problem. I'm an AT&T person, forgive me. Having said that, you can call each one of them up, and they will be more than happy to point you to the proper spot on their website if you can't find it, to show coverage in the areas you're interested in operating.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just interested in for an article I'm writing, and I always find that Hams are a good resource for information. That's why I brought it up here. But that's what I'll do. I'll contact the several of the carriers and get an overview of how good the coverage might be.
Well, you know, it's going to vary widely. It really is. Like, someone who's going, depending on how they go from here to, let's say to Massachusetts, boy, you've got at least three different routes. You've got the, up the river through Hellgate out into the Sound. That's always fun. You've got around Long Island. And you've got around Long Island, but further out to clear all the islands, the coastal islands. And you can have the same experience up near Nantucket. On the other hand, down further south, if you're banging along the intercoastal waterway or, through Chesapeake Bay and things like that, you'll be fine. I would think that the outer reaches of Long Island out, the outer route, if you will, is probably less well covered than going through Hellgate and out to the Sound that way. On the other hand, unless you've got a sturdy powerboat, I wouldn't touch Hellgate with a sailboat, for love or money, not happening. My father used to tell a great story about that what does it take to get through Hellgate with a 60-foot sailboat and sailing solo? Youthful foolhardiness and a case of beer.
Yes, I recall a friend of mine some years back going through Hellgate in a kayak, and in total ignorance, luckily he was in good physical shape, but he put his kayak in the water not knowing any better and paddled around Manhattan, and when he got through Hellgate, he got a rude awakening. Happily he survived. Back to net, WE2R.
Yeah, so for those who are not familiar with that, that area, it's the part of Long Island Sound that meets the East River. And let's just say at certain points during certain tidal shifts, you will go where Mother Nature takes you and not necessarily where you want to go. And I guess there's two other things besides, youthful foolhardiness and a case of beer that you need. You have the good grace of God and a lot of, and you may require the help of the Coast Guard. My father did it several times without the help of the Coast Guard, but the help of the first three elements. And I think the fourth time through, or one of his times through, I don't know which one, he required the help of the Coast Guard. The good news is he hadn't had much help from the beer, so therefore there was no issue at that time. But this is back in the early 50s. And my dad was probably about the same age as our son John and son James. Anyway, about 22 to 24, somewhere in there. Alrighty. Anybody else with comments? Well, let me give you something else that's a corollary to that, what happens when you're in a private aircraft and you're flying. Most people are amazed that, they can get a cell signal, but how poor the cell signals are in an airplane, even up to the small private aircraft. And the reason for that is, chances are the cell sites you're over top of, you're not communicating to, but you're probably communicating to one that's far off on the horizon. And the reason for that is that they're all, low to the ground, down tilted. So if you go up in an office tower and there's not cell sites in the office tower, I went to the AT&T facility in downtown Atlanta, 48 floors of office tower, and the ground cell coverage disappears by the time you hit the 20th floor. So it's a real challenge to get coverage. So anyway, you know, 40 floors up, trust me, you're not getting much from outside the building. You're getting it from inside the building, if at all. Alrighty, any other questions on the subject of, shall we say, cell coverage in various places?
NW2JEK.
Okay, Don.
And how much output power outage does a typical cell phone have? And watts or something like that?
Well, the most powerful of them can put out a couple of watts. I think they're by law limited to 3, but if they're putting out 3 watts, you don't have much battery left. In fact, with the digital phones now and spread spectrum, they're typically putting out a whole lot less.
Okay, thank you.
Comment?
Mr. Jim?
I thought the hold it up to your head ones, the any of the smaller ones were like 300 mils. There are some, or at least used to be some, the shoe phones and ammo case phones that were up in the 3-watt range. I don't know what the current status is of that sort of thing anymore.
Okay, so you're absolutely right. I think it is a few hundred milliwatts. And on top of that, automatic power control or automatic power management has to be implemented in almost every system in order to keep the systems alive, because otherwise they'd have too much density. They'd be saturated by the various users. So they want to make it so they tweak your power so that you have enough signal to get to the cell site and not enough to get to 2 cell sites unless you are in a transitional zone. Similarly, they want to make sure that if there are too many users within the umbrella of a cell site, they just make the umbrella smaller and they actually reduce the power level coming out of the cell site to basically shed users, and those users will either transition to an adjacent cell, drop off, or if they're 3G users, they'll transition to a 2G cell. That's pretty much how that works, over.
I'll have another question about MiFi kind of stuff later.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that in a minute. Alrighty, any more for Don's question? Mr. Don, do you have more for your question?
No, that's enough. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I think Jim's right. It's a good 10 dB different on the handhelds, because they don't want to fry people's brain with watts of power near your skull or your eyeballs. But I think the law were limited to 3 watts. So anyway. Alrighty. Before we go on to Jim's question, any other questions or check-ins, I should say, just to post? Alrighty. NS2K, your question about MiFi. And I've got a story to tell about something like MiFi in a moment. So I'll let you ask your question first. NS2K, K2BAR.
K2BAR, NS2K. Yeah, the other day I got into a situation where I might have to contemplate such a thing. Was wondering what the various benefits of that versus, say, implementing the hotspot from the cell phone versus using one of the, say, various carriers in the, I suppose, the metro area or outside the metro area, if there's any particular advantage or, you know, pricing-wise, coverage-wise, data speed-wise. You know, everybody could keep hearing all kinds of noise about 4G. I don't know how real any of that stuff is yet, beyond the marketing. But I don't know, what's the current state here at this point, NS2K?
Oh, boy, you asked several different questions. All right. So let's start with the last question first. The general status of 4G or LTE, long-term evolution is the other name. And they're not quite the same, but for technical reasons, you know, there are limitations on using one phrase versus the other. But in any case, there are very small amounts of 4G available in specific markets from all the major carriers. Anybody who tells you they've got a lot of it is lying. In 6 months, they'll have quite a bit more. At the end of the year, they'll have a lot. And by the end of the following year, they'll have saturation. That'd be my guess. And that's pretty much true for everybody. There might be little tactical battles that, you know, in this little market, in this little corner of this little market, you know, your signal coverage will be better or worse. Having said that, I'm going to tell you a story about cellular. The other morning, I was laying in bed, and Nancy goes, "Darn, we just lost our Wi-Fi." She was using Wi-Fi with her iPhone. And I said, "Oh, really?" Didn't come back after 5 minutes. I went, dropped up the stairs and immediately observed that our router was dark. I checked the power supply. The power supply was fine, but the router was dark. So the router went bye-bye. Okay. This is my Verizon Fios router. So we found a couple of things that are interesting about that. When that happens, some aspects of your guide go away, your video on demand goes away, a few other things related to your video go away, but all your channels keep working on the TVs to the set-top boxes, but not the video on demand stuff and things like that. So it was a little annoying. Obviously, the internet died, the Wi-Fi died. My phone is not attached to that router. It's the optical networking terminal. The ONT provides the telephone adapter. So we didn't have any telephone problems. We didn't have any internet browsing problems. Well, yeah, we did have internet browsing problems. We didn't have telephone problems, and we didn't have video problems. We had no internet. So here's what we did. I grabbed my Cradlepoint MBR 1000 router, which looks like any other Wi-Fi hardwire type router, you know, four hardwire ports, an uplink port, and, you know, three different antennas for all sorts of things. But the Cradlepoint MBR 1000 has a couple of extra ports that are really, really handy. One is an express card port, and the other is a USB port. So what I did was I reached into my pocket. I went downstairs and grabbed my pocket and grabbed a USB cell modem and plugged it into the USB port of the router, plugged the router into an interesting power pole strip because I've got my router connectorized with a cable and interesting power poles. And in about a minute or less, we had Wi-Fi service that was connected to the internet for the whole house. The speed, when I ran speed tests on it, I went to Speakeasy and ran their tests, I was getting in excess of 2 gigs download, two megs download and in excess of 1 meg upload. Not just in the shack here, but from the other side of the house. So, I had plenty of upstream bandwidth. And you know what? That exceeds common DSL speeds that we were all happy with only a couple of years ago. Some of us are still, you know, that speed. And guys like Ron GAI are still on dial-up, so it was lightning fast. I was able to log in with my VPN software from my work computer I do everything I had to do on all the other different computers around the house, and everything was fine. So that's how we ran the internet in my house for 2 days until I had a chance to get overnighted and then time to install the new Verizon router. So that was a good lesson learned. So let's see, Jim, I think that's about half your questions, but I'll stop there and see if anyone has any questions about that.
KC2ZMA.
Go ahead, Marco.
K2BAR, this is KC2ZMA. I have one of these Wi-Fi's from Verizon, the 2200 intelligent mobile hotspot. I use it all the time, basically, for work, sometimes through the iPad. It is extremely cool where you can have the internet, the whole world in your hand, basically. You just turn this thing on, connect to the cell tower, basically you just put your iPad on or iPod or laptop or whatever, anything that's Wi-Fi. And what's the benefit of this, you can connect anything you want to this Wi-Fi device other than using the USB that plugs into the laptop. The dish, because you could put five devices at one time. But the speed ratio on these things, depending on how much you use, what happens to these companies like AT&T and Verizon, they throttle your usage. If you use a lot of it, they throttle your usage, just like home internet accesses. But what came out just today, I think yesterday, was a 4G Wi-Fi from Verizon. If you look it up, it's from Samsung. But what it is, it's backwards compatible with 3G also. So where 4G is available, if not, it goes down to 3G. Let me drop it a second. So when you use it in 3G, I mean, depending on what where you are, how many people are using the cell towers, sometimes you'll be getting like maybe 500 kilobytes a second download, maybe like not too much up. And that's just the way these things work. I know AT&T does the same thing, Verizon, I think Virgin Mobile is another one. But I've used these all the time, and I'm going to upgrade to the 4G probably this weekend. It's a good thing we're talking about this. Tell you guys, this weekend I'm going to upgrade to the 4G LTE from Verizon that I want to get. But depending what you use, your usage, meaning if you go over the 5 gigabytes, whatever cap they give you, you get charged, I think it's a megabyte, 5 cents, something like that. So you could be using this thing a lot and not know about it. Just like the home network where you can use as much as you can, basically. A lot of companies let you do that, like Fios and Cablevision. But these from cell towers, what they do is they charge you what you use. So you have to be careful how you use these things. That's it. This is KC2ZMA, back to K2VAR.
Okay, Marco, very good. Thank you for that. A couple of things. Speaking from an inside view, I can tell you that AT&T does not throttle you. it just doesn't. There may be other performance things that are causing you to have degraded performance, but there is no active throttling of a customer who's, quote, using a lot of service. AT&T is too big a target to play that game. Without a whole lot of notifications to customers that they would do it to them specifically, blah, 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 in which case most customers would take such a letter, put it on the internet, and they'd beat the company up forever. So it's not happening. So that's number one. Having said that, there are things you can do to improve your lot in life. And, you know, one of them is to make sure your antenna is in the clear, make sure that, you know,
you also don't have any junk files floating around your computer, things like that. All good stuff to do. So, let's see. Anybody else have any comments on the portion of Jim's question that we've started to answer? All right, Jim, now what was the first part now?
Oh, I was in a situation where I might want to use something that I probably have to do as a Wi-Fi connection, an iPad, a non-3G iPad. Horrible anyway. But, so in that case, some kind of, what's the term, where you're trunking through another device, whether it be the cell phone or a MiFi type thing. But, just wondering, you know, if there are, how much pain there is involved in any of those.
I'm sorry, we had some momentary interference. So you wanted to know what had momentary interference to what service?
Sorry, to give myself a little bit more elevation here. Is this any better?
Q5.
Well, yeah. In this case, I have the loan of a device from the office, one of the newer version 2 of the iPad, but it of course came without 3G. And I'm wondering if there were any other cool mechanism for providing non-indigenous Wi-Fi connection, such as MiFi or tethering to a cell phone.
Well, yeah, because you don't have USB or FireWire with that, so you're kind of stuck with Wi-Fi for tethering or Bluetooth. I assume they have Bluetooth in the iPad, yes?
Yeah, there's Bluetooth. I don't know if they implement that just for audio or if you can do an internet connection through it or not. I'd have to do more research.
Yeah, I would check that. I would check on that. But, you know, the Wi-Fi connection, I mean, Nancy uses her little, you know, beast of a iPhone with the Wi-Fi, and then she sends it off to whatever. So your existing iPad has a cell card, if I remember, built in. If you still have that, what you could do is set it up with a Wi-Fi, as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Can you do that? Or do you have an Android phone where you can do that?
Actually, I have two potential current devices. The cell phone, which has an unlimited plan, which I don't know if that would apply if I did the tether option. Plus I have the upper limit plan on the iPad, which I suppose for some amount of money I could make that a hotspot as well.
I suppose you could. In the case of an iPad tethering through an iPad, I don't think that the application detection should be that much of a problem. You know, what happens is when you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone that's not subscribed for tethering, that someone tethers anyway and they see, you know, you're running Firefox and not the, you know, the Android or some other form of Firefox, but they see application data running from, let's say, Windows 7 Firefox or something. that kind of raises an eyebrow that you might be tethering high. You don't have to look at the content. You just look at the framework of what the payload packets are structurally. And you can draw some conclusions about, you know, who's tethering without violating their privacy. I also have an Atrix Android phone, and I did subscribe to the hotspot, you know, option. So what I did was, since my home had commandeered my cell data card, my USB data card, what I did was I used my hotspot plugged into a cigarette lighter in my car to provide Wi-Fi to my to my laptop. When that's how my laptop got internet connection for the last couple of days to last night. Let's see, there was one other thing you asked about that got my attention. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but personally, I would give some consideration to a phone with hotspot software. I mean, I believe there's hotspot software available for your iPhone, and I would just go subscribe to the service, pay the money, and be done with it. That way, keep things on the up and up. Also, I think that's the one with the unlimited data plan. So you'll never run out, but you will pay a premium for the privilege of using it as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Because, again, they'll see all sorts of odd tethering. You don't want to get cracked with a fat bill for something that, you know, that you could have avoided for very nominal amounts of money.
Yep, I agree. And that certainly is a potential way of getting around the problem. As I'm obviously paying one way or the other, and I, for the most part, always have the cell phone, but that's not necessarily the most convenient thing to do certain things with. Some other device, whether it's the iPad or notebook or something, might be far better, device to do that kind of browse with. So it may be that that's the best way to go with it. Have to look to see, if, for instance, the unlimited aspect of the plan carries through, or if using tethering implement some other limit on the other point.
I don't think they do, but I think what they will find is that they will charge you for setting up a hotspot. And that's you can ask first, can you set up a hotspot on either your iPhone or your iPad with the cellular-enabled ones. And if they have a plan for that, that's great. If they don't, then ask about tethering. And that could be virtual tethering as well. Wireless tethering is fine. But sometimes the agent thinks of these things differently. Point out what Marco did, he's got his little MiFi device, and I've got my Atrix, my Motorola Android phone, which is an Atrix with a hotspot software. And, they're fine. They have rather limited range, very limited range, only a few yards, in fact. Whereas my Cradle Point, which is much larger, obnoxious, and things like that, has much better coverage on the Wi-Fi side than what I'd see in an Android phone or a MiFi or something like that. Got, as I say, three Wi-Fi antennas and plenty of coverage. One other thing you can do to improve your data speed is to have a directional antenna or even an omnidirectional antenna with some gain attached to your cellular device on the cell side, not on the Wi-Fi side, on the cell side. And that's something I cannot emphasize enough. It's a great idea to do. especially if you're in a marginal area, it'll get it together, or if you're in an area where there's a lot of crowding, you can, you know, shall we say, be first among equals. As other people fall off the net, you know, you'll still have a good solid signal into the cell tower that's nearest you. So I think we've answered your questions. One other thing you could do, by the way, on the Wi-Fi side is if you have removable Wi-Fi antennas, you've got those, can extend those as well. So think about that. But my MBR-1000 does not have removable antennas, but I've already had it open. So I soldered my own power cable to it. I didn't want to use the coaxial power plug in a mobile environment for vibration reasons, so I soldered a cable, like an 18-inch cable, to the board and unsoldered the power connector to make sure I had a good firm connection. So anyway, I could do the same thing with the antennas on the Wi-Fi side, and God knows I have pigtails and all sorts of antennas for the cell site. So, NS2K, K2BAR.
Repeater.
Alright folks, just give it a minute to reset. I unkeyed just as it was timing out.
Repeater, timeout, clear.
That's the good news. The bad news is we've timed it out, so just bear with us here. We'll get the repeater to re-init in about. That will help allow the repeater to reset. K2BAR. There we go. All right. Sorry about that. I unkeyed just as it was timing out. I apologize. So, Jim, any more on your question?
I think at this point I'm in pretty good shape, and yeah, we'll go from here.
Okay, did you want to talk about femtocells or 3G microcells?
At this point, it's I'm hoping that it's not necessary. I'm hoping that the upgrade plan that AT&T is going through and doing to each of its cell sites is going to resolve that issue.
Okay. Very good. Did you possibly call Uber's customer, AT&T customer care and inquire about that?
I have not. You know, maybe after I get back from NAB.
Okay, it's FYI, I can't tell you. I mean, I could go look, but I can't tell you. I will not. I'm not losing my job over that, sorry. But, you know, customer care can look up on their plan maps and see what's going on and tell you whether or not you have good things to look forward to. All right. So that's about it on that. Any other questions for the net? Please call K2B Air. All righty. Well, we've started the countdown for getting a Flex 5000 Alpha in here. That's pretty exciting. And I'm looking forward to that software-defined radio thing. And I've got two monitors that are currently a dead computer that I'm going to dedicate to the proposition of being my displays for the radio. All I need to do next is have work issue me another computer for that purpose. They're issuing me the radio too, by the way, which is kind of neat. But anyway, anything people have to say about any upcoming announcements before we go, please call K2BAR.
Quick question, K2SUV.
Yes, my son.
Thank you for that. Just pull up these flashcards studying for the general test and all the tests. Any words to their effectiveness? That's that.
knew a lot of people who swear by the flashcards. They're very good. And by the way, James, you should probably take the test on the 15th over in Westwood High School. That would be a good thing. Take a whack at it and see how she goes.
Decent suggestion. Well, I told you how well I did on my driver's practice test, and I took a practice test just now while everyone was talking, and nowhere near that result tonight, sorry to be said, but you can get it up and we'll see what happens. Seeing that my current method for studying is not going, figure I'd take a different route. We'll see if we can proceed with this, and we'll see what happens. It's all about retaining the information and moving forward. Back to Matt Casey, can you give me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good luck. No problem. All right, any other stations? All righty. Well, thank you, everybody, for a nice net tonight. Good questions. Very interesting. It was interesting that we focused a lot on cellular type stuff. That was interesting in itself. And all fair in love and war. All right. 7-3 and have a good one. And enjoy. This is K2BAR, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. And this is W2TTT, signing clear. Take care. Godspeed.